Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
911, what are you reporting?
I got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and Nate was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was?
There was. It was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sir?
See up!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Hey, everybody, this is Les Stroud. Yes, yes, I know, a.k.a. Survivor Man. And you're listening to Brian on Sasquatch Odyssey.
Guys, and welcome to this week's bonus episode of Sasquatch Odyssey. Thank you guys so much for clicking play. It is Tuesday. I hope you guys are having a great week. We've got an amazing story time lined up for you, but as always, I want to start the show by inviting you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. You can give me at brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. Head over to the website, check it out. You can become a member there and help support the show. As I said, we've got a great story time lined up for you. I've got all kinds of stories. I've got Bigfoot stories. I've got Lizard Man stories. I've got Dog Man stories. So you guys just get ready for that. But before we get into that, I just want to say thank you to Deborah Hatswell from the BBR. You guys probably remember Deborah. She's been on the Paranormal Show sharing some of her experiences. She's also been on the Sasquatch Odyssey side of things, sharing her Bigfoot encounters over in the UK. And Deborah has a phenomenal database of sightings that she's allowed me to have access to. And the stories that you're going to hear today come from that database. So thanks, Deborah, for allowing me to use those stories for story time. I really appreciate it. Some of them are really cool stories. So they're literally stories from 4 or 5 continents that I'm going to bring to you guys over the coming months and years, really, on story time. So lots of things to look forward to there. But before we get there, thank you guys for showing up. I appreciate it very much. This is a Tuesday edition of Storytime. I'm going to have another history show come out for you guys on Thursday, so make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss a show. I'm going to drop that on Thursday, and it's going to be the John Green Show. I mentioned the Four Horsemen back last week when I put out the history episode, so I'm going to be doing a show on John Green. And at the end of that, I'm going to play some audio from an interview, and he's talking about Sasquatch in his own words. So it's a really cool thing. I think you guys will enjoy that. That's going to drop on Thursday, and then I'll be back for the regular show on Friday. One of the stories that you're going to hear tonight, I've referenced this before, and I was super excited to see that it was actually on her database. It's a Bigfoot sighting that happened in 1986 in Somerville, Georgia, with the ginseng hunter. I've talked about that before. I grew up hearing this story. It was one of the first stories I ever heard about Bigfoot, and it really got me interested in the subject. So I'm super excited to bring you Mr. Brown's story. It's going to be the first one in story time, and then we'll move on from there into the Lizard Man and all kinds of things. So it's not a very long show. It's about 25 minutes or so. It's an easy listen, so I hope you guys enjoy it. Real quick, if you haven't done it already, please rate and review the show wherever you're listening right now. If you enjoy the show, hit the 5-star rating, bump us up, help other people find the show, and hopefully they'll enjoy it as much as you do. But enough of that. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to let the music play. You guys sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Mr. Brown lives in Somerville, Georgia. He's 77 years old now and doesn't get in the woods like he used to. But in August of 1986, he was in Jenkins Gap, Somerville, Georgia, looking for ginseng. He was a carpenter by trade, but he looked for ginseng to sell it for his family for extra money. He normally made the trip into the woods with a friend, but this day he couldn't make it with him. So he went on his own. Once he made it to the spot, he exited his truck near the fire tower, and he said he already had a feeling of being watched. The uneasy feeling of not being alone wasn't anything he wasn't used to. This area was ripe with poachers, and there was often game wardens in the area, seeking them out. Feelings aside, he grabbed his stuff and made his way into the woods. He made his way down a hill and found a flat area and saw lots of ginseng. He was busy digging up roots when he got an overwhelming feeling again that he was being watched. He looked behind him, expecting to see a game warden, but instead, there stood the strangest creature he'd ever seen. It was a giant, hairy, man-like thing, half covered in dry-caked mud. The mud covered the majority of the lower half of the body, and it hung in small clumps, like it had been wallowing or crawling through it. It was approximately 8 feet tall, with 4 to 5 inch brown and black hair all over it. It was about 18 to 20 feet away, so he got a very good look at it. He said it had a big head that looked like it sat on strong shoulders with no neck. He described it as having a medium build, long arms that hung to its knees, and a powerful stench that smelled like a dead animal. As he stood frozen to the ground where he had been digging, he noticed its left arm seemed lifeless, and the fingernails on that hand had grown so long they tangled into a knot, curling the hand. They stood there for what seemed like 20 minutes, but in reality was about 2 minutes. Then it slowly did a half turn to its left and did a low grunt 2 times. It turned its upper body again and grunted at him. Then it swung its upper half around, took a couple of steps away, and then he noticed that it had a bad leg, too. He said it almost stumbled like an old drunk man. Brown took a look around to find his best way to escape. Directly behind him was a steep hill, but this thing looked like it had better days, so he decided to take a chance. As soon as the creature took a couple of steps, he tore up the hill as fast as he could, through the loose leaves, rocks, and roots. When he reached the top of the hill and realized the creature hadn't followed him, he vomited immediately. But it wasn't from the stench. It was from the pure fear. On his way home, he stopped by the sheriff's office to report it, because he said he was afraid of what this thing might do if it came upon a child in the forest. He told the newspaper and TV folks from Atlanta as well. He told them that he was brought up to never tell a story, and it was his responsibility to warn people. No one in Somerville has ever told him face to face that they thought he was lying, but he's smart enough to know that his story is extraordinary. And there are some that just don't believe it. But Mr. Brown's story never changed, and he went to his grave claiming that he saw Bigfoot while ginseng hunting near Somerville, Georgia. The white thing is a woolly, hairy cryptid reported across numerous counties in West Virginia, predominantly within the southeast region of the state. The counties with the most sightings are Boone, Kanawha, Putnam, and Mason, with a surge in the sightings taking place in Boone County around the 1990s. It's described as being a quadruped about the size of a bear, with entirely white wool fur. It has a long and pointed head similar to a dog, long saber-like teeth, and a single pint set of horns not dissimilar from those found on a young goat. Its four limbs and its paws are like hands, similar to those of a raccoon but larger, while its tail is long and hairless, like a possum. In 1994, a former Navy seaman stated that he saw the beast breaking through the forest. The white thing breached the bush and knelt down to drink from the creek. Here it drank for a few minutes before crossing the creek and continuing forward to a nearby road. The witness stated that he observed the animal for a while before it moved on into the surrounding bush. Within the same year, two children observed the creature while playing in their yard within Boone County. What the children described sounded like a bear standing on its hind legs that was over 6 feet tall. Startled by the children, the beast ran off through the forest, breaking medium-sized limbs off of trees as it made its way down the path and out of sight. In 1995, the creature was spotted again, this time involving a car. As a couple drove through Boone County, they observed a white beast sitting in the ditch along the roadway. As many curious people might do in this situation, they stopped their car to get out and get a better look. They came to describe the creature again as mostly similar to the other descriptions, yet they added that the creature had four eyes. Unlike the other sightings, this time, the sheep squatch, as it had came to be known, didn't flee. Instead, it leaped out of the ditch and started to attack their car. Frightened by the attack, the couple drove off quickly, and once they arrived back home, they noticed the large scratches where the beast had attacked their car. The next sighting would take place in 1999 in Boone County. A couple was out camping and sitting around the bonfire. They heard an animal snorting and scuffling around the camp, and they assumed that it must be some sort of aggravated bear. All of a sudden, the sheep squatch suddenly charged out of the darkness at the campers. Reacting quickly, they jumped up and ran back to the house, all the while being pursued by the unknown creature. But luckily for them, they made it to the house, and this creature stopped at the edge of the forest. But it made some sort of terrible scream. It turned around and headed back into the woods. The next morning in the light of day, the campers went back to their campsite and found it torn to pieces. They would later describe the scene as if though someone had tilled up their campsite to plant a garden. In 2015, in Folks Run, Virginia, the beast was spotted once again in the forest of Appalachia. This time it was spotted around midnight by six campers who were spending the night in the dense woods. They described a creature that was about 8 to 9 feet tall with shoulders 4 to 5 feet apart. One of the campers saw the beast at the top of the hill in a crouching position. Then it stood up. As he alerted the other campers, it started to run down the hill after them. They scattered and went to the river. They looked in horror as it searched for a way to cross, but with no other options, it began to wade through the river. When the creature stood up on the bank on the other side of the river, the campers described what looked like some sort of bipedal dog-like creature. It was at this point that the campers described some sort of scream that came from about 2 miles away. The creature appeared to be startled and it looked up into the moonlight so they could just see its face. And just as quickly as it showed up, the creature turned and ran in the direction of where the sound came from. Campers made their way back to camp and packed up and got the hell out of there. But instead of calling the authorities, they let the locals around the area know, just in case this thing ever attacked. But the identity of the campers is still unknown to this day. Ronald writes, "I'm 20 years old and I live in a small town in Wayne County, West Virginia called La Valette. My family and I are originally from Jacksonville, Florida, and we lived there during my childhood. But eventually we moved north to escape the humidity and the hurricanes. Now what I'm about to tell you guys is 100% true, and I swear on my life that I've experienced everything that I'm about to tell you. It was on August 27th, 2017 when my experiences first began. It was a Saturday evening between 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. I was driving home from taking an incredibly long drive. It was getting dark and I was driving down 8th Street near La Valette towards Mountain Union Road. I made my way to Walnut Gap Road, which meant I was almost home. Now there's a blind curve on this road near an old abandoned white church, so I always slow down there before I hit that curve. It was in that spot where I had my first encounter. I drove slowly around the curve. A creature steps out onto the road on all fours. At first I thought it was about a 500-pound black bear because it was roughly the same size. But then I noticed that it was more wolf-like. It had a long bushy tail, pointed ears, and a canine-like snout. The body shape was definitely that of a wolf. It had long black hair and glowing amber-colored eyes. As soon as it stepped onto the road, it turned its head and stared directly at me. I was ecstatic at first to see a wolf in the wild, but at the same time I realized that something was wrong. There was something off about this. There shouldn't be a wolf out here that big. In fact, the more I think about it, there shouldn't be any wolves at all here in West Virginia. Timber wolves that used to live here in the woods were killed off long ago. All these things started rushing through my mind. Was the government doing some secret conservation effort to repopulate wolves here in the state? Did a pack of wolves escape from some wildlife sanctuary and some of them find their way here? If so, how did this one get so freaking big? Not only did the wolf's abnormal size catch my attention, but it was its eyes. They look different from what I see in any canine. They look much more intelligent than anything I'd ever seen. But whatever theory I had to support this rational explanation for some unusual sighting I was having was immediately shot down when this creature did something I'll never forget for the rest of my life. Something that still haunts me to this very day. As we continued to stare at each other, even while I was in my car, I could hear what sounded like bones popping loudly. And to my absolute shock, I watched this wolf place its hand on top of my hood and raise itself up as it stood on two legs. As it stood up, my headlights hit it, and I could see this thing clearly. It was easily 8 feet tall and weighed about 600 to 650 pounds. It was covered in jet black hair, and it seemed quite feral in my opinion. It had a long, bushy tail and those glowing amber eyes.
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In the light of my headlights, I could see this thing wasn't just a wolf standing on two legs. It had a human-like torso from the waist up, and it was pretty muscular with broad shoulders and long forearms. Longer than I'd ever seen. Its hands appeared to be raccoon-like, with elongated fingers and jet black claws on each fingertip. The hind legs resembled more like a dog or a wolf, as they were bent backwards, and they were massive. It had a massive wolf-like head that resembled sort of a German Shepherd-type head, with pointed ears and tufts of hair on the tips, and a long muzzle, with huge fangs coming out of each side of the snout. To be honest, the teeth looked something like a saber-toothed tiger, but the rest of it looked just like a werewolf. The eyes were the one thing about my encounter that night that I'll never be able to shake. Even writing about this now sends a chill down my spine. As I said earlier, there was an intelligence with the eyes that I can't explain. I'd never seen anything like that on any other creature. But something also told me that there was evil behind those eyes. Finally, I had this overwhelming sense of dread after seeing this thing walk to the side of my car on two legs and bend down where we were eye to eye. I froze in pure, unadulterated horror. This thing started to jiggle the door handle and try to open the car door. Fortunately, all the doors were locked and every window was up. But this horrified me to the point where I couldn't breathe. It walked around to the other side of the car and jiggled those door handles as well. This thing was clearly intelligent enough to know what a doorknob was. But I wasn't thinking about any of this at the time. I was still reeling from the fear that had literally latched onto my soul at this point. I mean, we as humans think we go through life as an apex predator. And then you go out into the wilderness alone, and suddenly you feel so weak, so helpless, when you run into a beast like this. That's exactly how I felt during this entire encounter. It was so strange that this creature was standing there right next to my car, and it wasn't supposed to exist. And I got the feeling this thing was the true ruler of the forest, and that human beings were actually nothing compared to this thing. If it had chosen to, it could have ripped the doors off of my car and pulled me out, and there would have been nothing I could do about it. I could scream for help, but what's anybody going to do? There were times during my encounter that I felt like I was really going to die. I thought then and there, that was it. My family and friends will never see me ever again. But as it turns out, none of those things happened to me. It was as if God were protecting me from some malevolent beast that was circling my car. But instead of attacking me, this thing just bared its teeth, let out an extremely loud snarl, and walked off into the forest. Before it disappeared, the creature stopped one last time, turned and looked at me for a few seconds, before it finally disappeared into the night. As the creature walked off into the forest, I looked over its shoulders and I could swear that I wasn't alone. I saw what looked like at least five pairs of amber eyes glowing back at me from the darkness. Looking back, in my opinion, I think what I encountered was the alpha male, and what I saw over his shoulder was the rest of the pack. But with that scary thought, this thing had moved off, and now was my chance to get the hell out of there. So I slammed down on the accelerator and bolted away and got out of there. By the time I made it home and got into my garage, I was literally in tears. I'd never felt fear like that before or since. My parents were obviously concerned about my state and asked me what happened. So I collected myself and went through the events step by step. Now, I've made up different stories and stuff in the past, but that was only when I was little. So I shared the entire story, and obviously, they didn't believe me. They just assumed that I'd saw some sort of a black bear while I was driving after dark, and I'd gotten scared. But I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't hallucinating. And I didn't have a misidentification. I know what I saw. This encounter affected me so much, I started to isolate myself from my friends and my family. It took me about a month or two, but eventually I broke out of my shell and got back to my social life again. But at this point, I'd taken time to do some research, and that's when I came upon the dogman phenomenon for the first time. I believe that may have been what I encountered on that fateful night. An invisible visitor in South Wales, June 2018. I used to go to a few quiet spots in the car sometimes, socially with a mate, and smoke a joint as we caught up. And I had my main spot that I'd been going to for about 10 years. I'd never had any issues going there, but I stupidly said to my friend one night before we pulled into the woods, "Let's go in and roll the windows down while we roll up and see if we can stir something up." I don't know why. I guess I was just messing around. So as we drove back into the deep woods, I'd never been into this natural burial ground before. But we drove in and I didn't see any other cars or people around. There were no houses for at least 2 miles. I stopped and cut the engine off and cut the lights off, and my mate had started to roll up the joint. Pretty much straight away, I'd say about 30 seconds in, I could hear a whispering outside. It was kind of quiet and both the windows were down and it was loud enough for us to hear, but we couldn't make it out. There was at least 3 to 4 sources of the whispering, and it seemed like some sort of foreign speech. The really strange thing about the whispering is it seemed to be coming from all directions and was even swirling around the car. One voice would mumble something, then another one would answer, and then another voice would mumble something from the opposite side of the car. We couldn't make out exactly how many, but it seemed to be at least 3 to 4 voices, and maybe more. So mind you, we're grown men, and we don't really get scared that easily. But just as I was about to ask my mate if he was hearing what I was hearing, I could see that he was looking around and getting kind of spooked. He was looking outside the window, and he said, "Yeah, I can hear that talking too. And I think we should get the hell out of here." So I started up the car, turned on the lights, and rolled the windows up, and at the same time, I was hitting the button to lock all the doors. I drove out and got us about 1 mile down to the main road. I drove down to a spot down the lane that I knew, and I turned around and backed my car in facing outwards near the end of the farmer's driveway. On my side of the car was a hedge that surrounds a small field that goes into another field that connects to the burial place where we had just came from. There was a thick hedge about 9 to 10 feet high. Behind that is a wood line and there's trees with a walking path which takes you down to the dead end. My headlights were shining down the path and we could see people walking down.
In the 10 years I'd been coming there, I'd never seen anybody, day or night. We continued to watch these figures and we were talking about what we had heard at the burial ground. I turned off my lights and looked in my rearview mirror and I thought I saw something dart across the back of the window. I chalked it up as just my eyes adjusting to me turning off my lights. But then I notice as my mate's talking to me, he's starting to look spooked again. He's looking past me and looking out all the windows around the car. And then all of a sudden I had this really strong sense of fear that came over me. The only thing I can really compare it to is sleep paralysis. So for about 30 seconds, we were kind of frozen, stuck in time. It was a really strange moment. But then all of a sudden, the door handle on my side of the car got yanked up really hard. It sounded like somebody nearly pulled it off the car. But fortunately, the door was locked and it didn't open. But that was definitely it for me. I'd had enough. I quickly cranked the car up and spun out and we took off. We ended up chalking our experience up to something paranormal that was related to the burial grounds. I've heard some similar chatter sounds online, but obviously none of them had the swirly effect that we had heard, and most of them seemed to be just one voice speaking in some sort of babble. But what we heard wasn't English, because we couldn't understand it. These were clearly not childhood nightmares. This took place while we were both awake, and we both had experienced the exact same thing at the exact same time. I certainly don't know what it was, but I do know that the experience was very real for both of us. Lizard Man Scene, June 1988. In the early morning hours of June 29th, 1988, a young man named Christopher Davis was driving along a dark, remote road through the woods of Scape Ore Swamp near the area of Bishopville, South Carolina. He got a flat tire, stopped his car, and got out to fix it. As soon as he had the spare put on, he was met with a terrifying sight. This large reptilian-type monster came out of the darkness towards him. Davis said this thing was about 25 yards away, and he could see its large, glowing red eyes. With no clue what this thing was, Davis ran and jumped into his car and locked the doors. This thing ran right up to the car and grabbed the door handle and tried to pull it open. He could see this thing from the neck down, and it had three big fingers, long black fingernails, and green rough skin. It was clearly angry. He looked into his mirror and saw a blur of green running by. He could see the toes with the large claws as this thing jumped onto the roof of his car. He could hear it rustling around on the roof of the car, and he could see this thing's fingers through the windshield as it curled around the top. He cranked the vehicle up, sped off, and tried to shake this creature off. After swerving several times, the creature finally fell off the roof, and Davis made his way home. Once he got there, he noticed that his rearview mirror was totally destroyed, and there were various gashes along the top of the vehicle where this thing had tried to claw its way in. He also noticed that one of the fenders on the vehicle had been completely torn off. He told his father his amazing story, and they eventually called the sheriff, who was understandably skeptical about the whole situation. The sheriff figured this had to be some sort of prank, or the boy was lying altogether, so he asked him to take a polygraph test. Davis agreed to take the polygraph, and he passed. Interestingly, it would turn out that a few weeks after Davis's encounter, there would be another report of similar damage to a vehicle, although in this case, the perpetrator wasn't witnessed. On July 14, 1988, a couple in Bishopsville named Tom and Mary Wayne reported that their car had been rather viciously vandalized, with both sides of the doors gashed and dented. A hood ornament was twisted and totally pulled off the vehicle. Pieces of the engine were even apparently torn out, and there were frazzled wires sticking out of the holes in the hood of the vehicle. Stranger still, parts of the car seemed to be gnawed or chewed on as if by a large, angry animal. It was reported that around the vehicle they found massive three-toed footprints, which the authorities would make plaster casts of. And none of the authorities were aware of any wildlife in the area that would make such tracks. After these reports were made of the mysterious lizard man of Scape Ore Swamp, more and more reports would come in at a pretty regular pace. There were 12 sightings made during the summer of 1988, as well as many reports of something shrieking or howling at night in the woods in and around the area. More reports of damaged cars would come in from a 5-mile radius around Scape Ore Swamp in the direct area of Bishopville. One of these reports would be made by two teenagers, Rodney Knopf and Shane Stokes, who saw this creature lumbering across the road as they were out on a double date. Another report would come in from a construction worker, George Holloman,
who claimed that the lizard man attacked him while he was drawing water from his well. At one point, a local deputy and a state trooper were investigating one of these reports where 40-gallon drums were smashed and tossed about like they were toys. There were all sorts of broken limbs, broken saplings, and uprooted trees in the area. While investigating the area, the deputy and the state trooper would once again find large three-toed footprints that measured 14 inches by 7 inches all around the scene. Authorities could never figure out what it was that people were seeing in the summer of 1988. So the mystery of the Skateboard Swamp Lizard Man continues to this very day. And that's it for tonight's show, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.